Welcome to your Health and Eating Well Report. This is your host, Shelley Kapiser. It is pumpkin season. Later on in the broadcast, we will have information on the types to buy, as well as a fun, easy recipe for roast pumpkin seeds, so have your recorder handy. First, more than the blues. Shorter days got you feeling down? We asked experts about the signs of seasonal affective disorder and what you can do about it, by Amanda McMillan. When Shanna Gazansky thinks about the fall season ahead, she doesn't look forward to crisp autumn air and pumpkin-spiced everything. Instead, the theater director and children's author, 41, feels an impending sense of doom. "I used to think it was a normal reaction to the end of summer," says Gazansky, who lives in Watertown, Massachusetts. In truth, her debilitating fatigue is anything but normal. "I feel extremely tired all day, not just mentally, in my muscles and bones, too." This exhaustion affects Gazansky's production at work and her social life, and makes it tough for her to keep up with her young daughter. A few years ago, Gazansky was diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder, SAD, a form of depression that doctors say is very treatable. It is estimated that about 5% of the U.S. population and close to 10% of the population in northern parts of the United States has seasonal affective disorder. It's about four times more common in women than in men, research suggests, and can affect people in different ways. Some SAD sufferers experience sadness and mood swings. Some feel sapped of energy, and some have physical symptoms like insomnia and weight gain. And while it is normal to feel a little sluggish when the days get darker and colder, there is a difference between a slight case of the winter blues and something more serious, a seasonal pattern. Symptoms of SAD usually surface in the late fall and early winter, peak in December or January, and subside in the spring, says Angelos Hilaris, M.D., Ph.D., professor of psychiatry at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood, Illinois. Episodes of SAD can happen in the summer too, but they're much less common. SAD can occur on its own, or it can affect people with year-round depression or bipolar disorder, making their symptoms worse and harder to manage during the fall and winter. Cold weather and changes in social schedules can play a role in the development of SAD, but experts say its main cause is shorter days, which is why people who live farther from the equator are at higher risk. Fewer hours of daylight can disrupt the body's circadian rhythm, which can cause people to feel fatigued during the daytime. Light enters our brains via the optic nerve, the bundle of nerve fibers at the back of the eye, and affects our levels of melatonin and serotonin, two hormones that regulate sleep and mood patterns. Scientists believe that people with SAD are more sensitive to changes in light. Your eye color may play a role too. A 2018 study suggests that people with dark-colored irises may be more susceptible to the disorder because they produce more melatonin, the sleep hormone, than those who have light eyes. Signs and symptoms. To be diagnosed with SAD, a person must meet the criteria for major depression coinciding with specific seasons for at least 2 years. In severe cases, she can't get out of bed, has frequent thoughts of death or suicide, or may even harm herself. But symptoms can also be less extreme, feeling hopeless or worthless, having low energy, losing interest in activities you once enjoyed, and withdrawing from social gatherings. "I feel like a bear that needs to hibernate," Gazansky says. "Once it gets dark early, the idea of leaving the house after 5 p.m. seems impossible, even if it's for something I should be looking forward to. People who experience SAD in the fall and winter may also overeat, crave carbohydrates, and gain weight. That being said, the desire to eat comfort food and cozy up when it's glooming outside doesn't mean you have seasonal depression. But if it happens virtually every day for several weeks, we should consider SAD, says Dr. Hilaris. If it becomes dysfunctional and you're not bouncing back when the weather clears up, or if you feel like your work or social life or health is suffering, talk to your doctor. Remedies that can help. Mild cases of SAD often can be managed with lifestyle strategies, specifically by getting more light in the early morning and throughout the day. Open windows and blinds and spend time outdoors, says Madhavi Singh, MD, a family medicine physician with Penn State Health Milton S. Hershey Medical Center in State College, Pennsylvania. If it's warm enough, expose the skin on your face and arms. The sun helps the body produce vitamin D, which may also affect mood and energy levels. If you're outside for more than a few minutes, though, wear sunscreen. Since SAD can disrupt sleep patterns, Dr. Singh recommends skipping caffeine in the afternoons and evenings, avoiding electronic screens right before you hit the hay, and keeping a regular bedtime and wake time. Going to bed hungry can also disturb sleep cycles, so eating a small snack before bed, like a few crackers and a piece of cheese, may be helpful, she adds. And regular exercise, outdoors if possible, can produce endorphins and provide big mood boosts, as long as patients can find the energy and motivation to do it. These strategies can help pretty much anyone who feels down during the winter months, says Dr. Singh. But people with moderate to severe forms of SAD may also need additional treatment, such as light therapy. Sitting in front of a light box or SAD lamp for 20 to 30 minutes can help regulate the production of important neurotransmitters, says Dr. Singh. These devices can be purchased without a prescription, but talk to your doctor before you invest. She can help you choose a lamp and tell you how and how often to use it safely. Doctors may also prescribe an antidepressant or talk therapy, treatments that can both be tapered off as symptoms subside in the spring. Gazansky, who is already taking a low dose of Zoloft for anxiety year-round, found some relief when her doctor increased her dosage during the winter months. It gives me a little more strength to deal with what's coming, she says. She's also learned to cut herself slack when she feels unmotivated in the winter and to stockpile her energy for stuff she really cares about, like weekends with her family or hosting dinner parties with friends. If I'm not careful, I can use up everything early and basically be done with my day by 1 p.m., she says. Now that I know what's going on, I can plan more carefully and commit to making the important things happen. Mood brighteners. These helpful gadgets supply your brain with a healthy dose of light. Daylight lamp. Carex Classic Plus model has a handy height-adjustable stand. You keep it on your desk and let it shine down on you like the sun, without the ultraviolet rays. It costs $112 at Amazon.com. Sunny Alarm, the Philips Wake Up Light Alarm Clock, simulates sunrise, your body's natural cue to rise and shine. Over 30 minutes, it gradually gets brighter as it rouses you each morning. This is $50, also at Amazon.com. And Special Specs. These light therapy glasses from IO emit short bursts of blue light, which mimics sunlight, but it's considered safe for your eyes. Company studies say wearing the glasses for 20 minutes a day can improve energy boost mood, and help regulate sleep. They are $300 at Goyo.com. Dealing with menopause? No one knows the signs, symptoms, and general stress of this life change better than OBGYNs. Let's see how they keep their own symptoms under control by Brittany Burke. Andrea Eisenberg, MD, Michigan Women's Health, says she goes for runs. My hot flashes and night sweats made it difficult for me to function. I couldn't get a good night's sleep, and in the daytime it felt like everything was a trigger. Wine, wearing a sweater, seeing someone else wear a sweater. I found myself moody and irritable, and the only natural thing that helped was going for a run and chasing that runner's high. It kept everything on an even keel and even fended off the weight gain, another common side effect of menopause. Diana Hopp, MD, founder of AmazingOver40.com, says that she tries bioidentical hormone therapy. My main complaint, she says, was complete brain fog. I couldn't remember what a patient just told me, and I was getting embarrassed asking the same question twice. I started bioidentical compounded hormones, Bi-Est cream, and 100 milligrams of progesterone, and after 3 days of trying them, my brain was back. I recommend that women search for a physician who is trained in hormone therapy and is cognizant of the most up-to-date studies. Dr. Patricia Sulak, founder of LivingWellAware.com, says she lifts weights. A lot of people don't realize that decreased bone density and muscle mass is a symptom of menopause until a bone breaks. I have a history of osteoporosis in my family, so I started doing yoga, weightlifting, and leg exercises to maintain and build my muscle mass. Felice Gersh, MD, medical director of the Integrative Medical Group of Irvine, says that she does intermittent fasting. Women in menopause tend toward hypertension, insulin resistance, and visceral fat accumulation. These can put you at a higher risk for a heart attack or stroke. She does a fasting mimicking diet. Research has demonstrated that it helps maintain healthy levels of markers for inflammation, blood pressure, and insulin resistance, and helps eliminate belly fat and may also contribute to overall gut health. And lastly, Sherry A. Ross, MD, women's health expert and author of Sheology, says she practices mindfulness. I was never anxious until I started going through menopause. So I'm really conscious of keeping those feelings at bay by exercising regularly, meditating, and doing yoga. I listen to Jackson Brown music to relax and remind myself that my feelings are temporary. The relaxation piece of dealing with menopause really helps. Focusing on your breathing and training your body to use different strategies that relax you physically and emotionally. The Gum Link by Maggie Panuska. Research suggests the health of our gums may be connected to our overall wellness. Here's how to give them the best care possible. Everybody wants to have gleaming teeth, of course, but a healthy smile actually begins with your gums. They are like the foundation of a house. If you have any damage at the base, it starts to impact the entire structure, says Richard K., DDS, president of the American Academy of Periodontology in Cupertino, California. Sore, puffy gums can ultimately lead to tooth decay and bone loss, and possibly problems beyond your mouth, too. Studies have tied poor oral health to conditions that involve the immune system, lungs, heart, and brain. Most gum troubles can be blamed on plaque, a sticky film that coats our teeth and contains millions of bacteria, says Dr. K. If plaque isn't removed daily, it begins to harden into a crustal layer called tartar. The bacteria in the tartar produce acids that erode tooth enamel and also irritate your gums, causing tenderness and inflammation known as gingivitis. Gingivitis is usually reversible by getting better about brushing and flossing and seeing your dentist or periodontist who can remove the tartar, says Sally Cram, DDS, a spokesperson for the American Dental Association. But if it's left untreated, gingivitis can progress to periodontitis, a more serious infection in which pockets form along the gum line and fill with bacterial toxins that break down the bones and tissue that hold teeth in place. Eventually, teeth can become so loose they fall out or need to be removed. As if that weren't bad enough, doctors suspect that the inflammation in the gums may trigger inflammation throughout the body. That may explain why studies have shown an association between gum disease and a variety of health issues, including heart disease and stroke, Alzheimer's, lung cancer, and rheumatoid arthritis. Researchers have even found that pregnant women with gum problems may be more likely to have a premature or underweight baby. Luckily, keeping your gums happy isn't hard. 99% of gum issues can be prevented with a few good habits, says Dr. Cram, who also runs a periodontal practice in Washington, D.C. And if you're already suffering from gum inflammation, nearly 1 in 2 adults in the U.S. has some form of gum disease, there are ways to stem the damage and possibly undo it. Signs of trouble. Have you noticed a little blood when you brush or floss? It may be just that you're brushing too hard, but bleeding can also indicate a buildup of plaque. For the next week, brush more gently. And if you're still seeing blood 7 days later, make an appointment with your dentist, who can remove any tartar with a professional cleaning. The color of your gums can be another signal that something's wrong. Healthy gums range from medium pink to light brown, depending on your skin tone. Dark red gums are a sign of periodontitis, so if you notice the shade is off, call your dentist. Keep an eye out for gum recession, too. Look for tissue that's pulling back, exposing the roots of a tooth or several teeth. Recession can be brought on by genetics, vigorous brushing, or grinding your teeth at night. But in the vast majority of recession cases, plaque and tartar are the culprits, says Dr. Cram. Unlike early stages of gum disease, gum recession is not reversible. Chances are you may develop a sensitivity to hot and cold temperatures, since the exposed root of a tooth isn't protected by a coating of enamel like the rest of the tooth. Ask your dentist about trying a desensitizing toothpaste. These formulas are made with compounds that stop up the tiny canals in the outer layer of the root to shield the nerves inside. For a severe case of recession, you may need a gingival graft. In this simple procedure, a periodontist takes tissue from the palate and uses it to repair the receding areas of gum line. The hormone factor. It's unfair, but true. You can be a stickler for oral health and still develop gum issues. That's because totally normal hormonal changes in your body can wreak havoc in your mouth. When a woman is pregnant, for example, rising progesterone can make her more susceptible to the growth of gingivitis-causing bacteria. You might even notice bright red puffy gums when your progesterone spikes a day or two before your period, a phenomenon known as menstruation gingivitis. Gum woes are common during perimenopause, too. Fluctuations in estrogen levels can create dryness in the mouth, and with less saliva present, microbes can thrive. During these times, it's extra important to stay on top of your oral hygiene, says Dr. Cram, and check in with your dentist about possibly coming in for care more frequently. Tweak your habits. You learned the basics of oral care when you were a kid, but a few details can make a big difference. For starters, use an ADA-approved brush with soft bristles. Soft bristles are not only easier on your gums, but they are also more flexible and can reach underneath the gum line to sweep away bits of food and plaque, Dr. Cram notes. Wondering whether you should upgrade to an electric model? A review of research found that powered brushes removed 21% more plaque than the manual kind after 3 months of use. But if you brush properly, you probably don't need to spend more than a few bucks on your toothbrush, says Dr. Cram. As for proper brushing, think of it more like gentle polishing. Make circular motions with your toothbrush on the surface of your teeth and brush for at least 2 minutes. Most people only last 30 seconds, says Vera Tang, DDS, a periodontist at New York University's College of Dentistry. If that's you, an electric toothbrush with a built-in timer may help. Another common mistake people make is not flossing before they brush. A few years ago, the Associated Press reported there was little scientific evidence that flossing was worthwhile, which led to a media frenzy and much confusion. But experts point out that the studies to date are too short in duration to show the long-term preventive benefits of the habit. They stand by flossing for the simple reason that it removes food and plaque in spots your toothbrush can't reach. Still not convinced? Just try flossing after you brush. The trick is to be precise, says Dr. Tang. Hug the string against the side of the tooth in a C shape and slide it gently up and down 2 to 3 times. If you're not a fan of string, floss picks, which look kind of like a mini archer's bow with a handle, can get the job done. And soft picks, those wiry cylindrical little tools, are great if you have wider spaces between your teeth or dental work. Water picks, which use a spray of H2O to dislodge debris between your teeth, can be helpful for people with bridges or braces, but experts say they shouldn't replace regular flossing. It's like washing your car, says Dr. Tang. Using a hose to spray dirt off your car isn't going to get it as clean as physically scrubbing it. Finally, don't skip the recommended semi-annual visits to your dentist or periodontist. Aside from giving your teeth a thorough cleaning, your doc can detect problems early on before they get worse. Some patients don't experience any obvious signs of gum disease, says Dr. K, but a professional can spot trouble and nip it in the bud. Keep your pets smiling. Get the lowdown on dental care for your furry friend. You encourage your pets to be active and make sure they eat well, but do you pay much attention to their pearly whites? If not, you may be putting their health at risk. Periodontal disease is the most common thing that we diagnose in dogs and cats, says Carlos A. Rice, DVM, founder of Veterinary Dentistry Specialists in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and left untreated. An unhealthy mouth can lead to inflammation, gum recession, and bone loss, all of which results in pain and poor quality of life. Brush at home. You should be cleaning your animal's teeth twice a week with a soft brush and pet toothpaste. Get pro help. Annually, pets should have a proper oral examination done by their vet, advises Dr. Rice. And keep an eye out. Even if you're doing all the above, a dental problem can arise, and knowing what to look for could save your pet. The most common sign of an issue is smelly breath, worse than normal. Okay, it's time to turn on your recorder. We're going to talk about pumpkins. Know your pumpkin. The Howden, your typical jack-o'-lantern pumpkin, grows to about 20 to 30 pounds and is intensely orange. Kisper pumpkin. These white-skinned ornamental pumpkins have thick flesh, great for carving and painting. New England sugar pie pumpkin. One of the standard varieties used for pies, these pumpkins have a fine, sweet flesh. Jack B. Little. These highly popular little pumpkins weigh in at just about 8 ounces. Party tip, they look super cute as table decor. Cinderella Rouge. This deep red-orange, flat-looking pumpkin from France was the inspiration for Cinderella's carriage. Pie versus carving. Yes, the 10 to 20-pound jack-o'-lanterns sitting on your front porch are edible, but trust us, the squirrels can have them post-Halloween. Carving pumpkins are stringy and bland when cooked. To find ones fit for eating, look for smaller sugar or pie pumpkin varieties. They weigh 4 to 8 pounds and are sweet and flavorful with smooth, textured flesh. And here are some additives when you roast pumpkin seeds. You can always roast clean and dry pumpkin seeds with oil and a little salt. But for amped up flavor, try one of these irresistible combos. Roast on a baking sheet at 300 degrees for 40 minutes to an hour, stirring occasionally. Hint number one, extra virgin olive oil, za'atar spice, and salt. Another one to try, canola oil and maple syrup, cardamom, cinnamon, and salt. Or try coconut oil, cocoa powder, sugar, and salt. Another one, extra virgin olive oil, nutritional yeast, onion powder, and salt. Another try, extra virgin olive oil, Old Bay, and salt. And lastly, extra virgin olive oil, oregano, and smoked paprika, and salt. And lastly, you love those pumpkins on the front porches and in lattes and pies, but did you know the plump orange fruit has rejuvenating powers too? It turns out pumpkin is full of skin-nourishing ingredients like vitamin C and A, plant pigments that act as antioxidants. On your next self-care Sunday, throw some pumpkin in a blender with honey and yogurt, a natural exfoliator, to make a do-it-yourself face mask and soak up the benefits. That's all for now. Thank you for joining me for your Health and Eating Well report. This is your host, Shelley Kapuser, wishing you a healthy, happy week.